everyone. This is WEC Podcast, episode 31. I'm Mandy.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Katie.
We are down one one podcaster today.
We're going to try to make it up to you.
Sorry, Kevin
with
is not
banter.
Here.
An intelligent trivia, Kelly. We're counting on you.
It's so much pressure.
Anyways.
Who wants to start? Anyone have a mini WEC?
Okay, I have two. I'm going to do one first because I think it's more you guys would appreciate. And so this morning as I'm eating breakfast, I'm watching cartoons because secretly I'm a 5-year-old. And I found this cartoon that I haven't seen before, which is Star Wars Legos Droid Tales.
I've never heard of it.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of Droid Tales, but only in passing. I have no idea what it is.
Oh my god, they're retelling. It's CP3O after the I saw the first episode. After the Ewok party where they're cleaning up the mess and like picking up cups.
Oh, cute.
It's hysterical. He's like, they're like, we should hear the story, and it's of when he knew Anakin Skywalker before, and he's like, I can't remember. And then R2-D2 goes beep 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 and shows him his memory chip, and they stick in the back, and he starts retelling the first movie. But it's like, if you're like a true like diehard serious Star Wars fan, I think you'd be offended. But there's one part where they're like doing, you know, where they get Anakin and he's like, I'm gonna win the race, and the Jedis are going, oh, I feel there's a power coming off of him. The guy who's like his boss, the horrible stereotypical guys in the background going, red flags, anyone want a red flag? He feels like there's much strength. Red flag on that one. and then it's the pod race. And there's someone in the background going, Annie. Like, he's our guy, or he's our man. It's the thing about, like, then his metachlorian. Oh, he's our guy. His metachlorians are high. It's just
what
ridiculous.
This is a Disney
show. It's Disney,
right?
DX, yeah. And then they were showing a preview for another episode that's coming up, and it's them trying to get in, and there's stormtroopers standing there, and they're like, we'll never get by them. And I think it's supposed to be Obi-Wan goes, like, old Obi-Wan goes, wait, I will use the force and get in. He goes over and goes, hey, look over there. And look over, and he takes this big like wrench and hits him on the back of the head.
I will use the force.
Or Princess Leia goes to Luke, are you a little short to be a stormtrooper? And he goes, we're all the same height in this universe.
Are they Legos?
It's little Lego guys.
Oh my god.
It's so funny.
Yeah, those are the best parts of the Lego video games, is the clips in between. Because they at first didn't have voices to them, but in the later games they added voices, and it's entertaining because they take these weird like looks at what happened.
Yeah, that's just it. It's bizarre. So now I've gone in and like record everything, so I want to see them because they're really
so
funny.
I found I don't know how I came across this, but Lego is hiring a field sales rep in like the Los Angeles area. So I was looking it up, going, what is this?
Yeah.
And I guess it's just a sales rep for Lego. And
I'm thinking, going to toy stores?
I don't know. But I'm thinking, who do you sell to? I mean, that sounds great, but...
Oh, my dream job.
So if you live in the Los Angeles area...
Hire Kelly.
you want someone to sell toys. I'm here.
So yeah, I think it's on Lego's website.
Because I'm a freak who thought that... But Mr. Megorium's Magic Emporium was a good movie. Apparently, it wasn't a good movie.
What is that? I don't even know what
that
is.
Dustin Hoffman?
It was Dustin Hoffman and Natalie Portman.
I don't remember.
And Jason Bateman. Yeah. And it's a magical... I'm trying to... Because I always
call Kevin here for
yeah,
this.
Kevin.
No. I always call him Justin Bateman, and because his sister's Justine, but no, he's Jason. So, and it's a magical toy store where Mr. Megorium, who's Dustin Hoffman, at his weirdest. I mean, like, we're talking like Johnny Depp, beyond Johnny Depp weird in a role with big eyebrows, and he's like... He's 100 or 200 and some years old, and he's been running the store forever, and now it's time for him to leave. And the store gets upset. I don't know, you have to see it. It's an acid trip, but I really liked it.
Interesting.
But Flophouse, that one podcast we talked about earlier,
yeah.
before, they watched it and didn't like it at all. But I
like
it.
And you're like, bad taste.
You make me sad.
You don't like toys.
And in it, Ugly Doll. Oh, I love Ugly Dolls. You have one. Your dogs were eating it the other day. Anyway, they're like, one was running around. Mark, we do. So, anyway. That was my mini-wek that went really long.
Oh, that's great.
Well, I'll keep the other one for later.
Do you have a mini-wek?
I have a mini-wek. So my friend Susan sent me a postcard, and it was a postcard that you could color. It was a little scarecrow and sitting on a fence. And so she wrote on the back, she said, adult coloring books just seem to be a thing, so I'm giving you something to color. Yes, they totally are. What have you guys seen?
Oh, there's actual books. If you look, if you go to product placement Amazon and you put in coloring books, there's like the really neat patterns and stuff. I haven't got one.
I was in a Barnes & Noble in Chicago because there was a Starbucks attached to it. It was the closest Starbucks, so I walk in, and right next to the Starbucks in the Barnes & Noble is their magazine, so I'm walking through the magazine pretty much on every end, and then on there was like a variety of different types of coloring books. I was like, that's unique.
I know, it's we actually started to have displays set aside for adult coloring books. So it's a thing. And there's one woman who's actually sold 5 million Whoa. Of these adult coloring books. She has two out. These two. One's called The Secret Garden and one's called The Enchanted Forest. She's a phenomenal artist. Her name's Joanna Bansford. She has a studio in Scotland. She graduated from College of Art and Design in 2005, and she does everything by hand. She calls herself the ink evangelist. She's, you know, into pen and paper, and so all these drawings start as a pencil drawing, and then she traces them over with pen. And she's got a new one coming out in October that people are excited about, and it's called The Lost Ocean. So she's one of the artists who's out there doing these adult coloring books. And it reminded me of something my cousin Stacy Shatler had given me, this Zentangle workbook. Have you guys heard of Zen doodling or Zentangles? Mm-hmm. So it's a little different from our adult coloring books, because with adult coloring books, someone's already drawn the art for you, and you take your colored pencil or pen and you color it in. But with Zentangles, you're the artist, or Zen doodling, and it's basically, you just take, with Zen doodling, you take a blank piece of paper and you just start doing designs. And the idea behind, the way that it's different from regular doodling is when you doodle, you're thinking about something else, like you're at a meeting and you're listening to the meeting and you doodle. And there's actually research out there that says that people who doodle are way more in tune with what's going on at the meeting. But the idea behind Zen doodling is that you're not focusing on other things. You're focusing on what you're doing. So it's about being in the moment. It's a way to, you know, a meditative relaxation technique. And so Zentangles is a little more methodic. So this is something that's been, it's a registered name. I think Maria Thomas and Rick Roberts, these are the two people that created this. And it's a method where you take a 3.5 inch 3.5 square inch piece of paper, and you put a dot in each of the four corners, and then you write, you know, you connect the dots to create a frame, and then you draw a string, and it can be a loop, it can be a zigzag, you just draw a string and you're connecting it to the different sides. And so basically what you've done is you've partitioned it in creative ways, and there's not supposed to be thought behind it, you're just supposed to do it. And then you take each of those partitions and you create a tangle. And it's just basically some kind of pattern. And so each of the little partitions has a different pattern. And when you're done, you have this tiny little piece of art. So anyway, there's a lot of really neat things out there.
So Ron Howard, the director, he doodles on conference calls with colors and everything, and then he colors it in, and he has sold them on coffee mugs for charity and things, because every once in a while he would tweet, I was on a 2-hour conference call, here's my doodle. He hasn't done it in a really long time, but at least a couple years ago, that's one of the things he did, so
I love
that's
it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well,
and it makes sense, because if you just listen to me, you're gonna, you can't no. concentrate that long.
Yeah.
I also find that for me on meetings, I either doodle, or I need to squeeze. And so I was once in a class and they had different toys for you to play with while you were listening. And the thing that was like the most comforting was Play-Doh, because it's a good tactile feeling. And so you could sit there and you're gripping it and molding it and playing with it. And so it just allowed me to concentrate a lot more because I had my hands busy.
That's interesting.
I do the same thing with, like, I have squeezy toys at my desk that I do the same thing with, because I need that to do something like action-y.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I'm no longer able to on conference calls. Like, before, you would, like, feel like you needed to be doing something, like your to-do list or something. So when somebody was talking that didn't pertain to you, you'd be doing something productive. But I realized, like, at least in the past 2 or 3 years, I cannot do 2 things at one time. So if I'm on a conference call, I need to be 100% engaged in that conference call. I can't be doing emails. I can't be doing anything else because my mind just goes off in a direction and then I'll hear, are you there? Yes. And then you have to have everybody repeat what they said. So
just so you know, it's not you. Everyone, literally no one can do 2 things at once. And anyone who says they can is high.
Yeah.
Because my psych degree coming in, your mind can't do that. So you can't listen. You can't focus on more than one thing at once.
But you know what's funny about that is that, I don't know if you guys have this problem, but when I'm in meetings, I'll be sitting at a table with people and talking to someone who is literally looking at their phone, texting somebody and going, and nobody says anything. And I'm like, you realize you can't do 2 things at one time. So really, you're not even really here unless you put down the phone or close the computer. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard for people to do anymore.
Well, see, and for me, what's at my company, we're all over the place. So we never have a meeting where we're all sitting in one room together. It's always on the phone, which makes it even that much harder because that distraction is right there. No one can see you.
Yeah.
But you can tell that everyone's not listening or paying attention because they're all doing email because, you know, you're just inundated with email.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a problem. But anyways, that's interesting about the doodling.
Yeah, it's a little bit of, you know, art therapy.
Well, I saw those coloring books and I thought, oh, that seems like that would be like a completionist type task, like something I could do and yet feel like at the end it would be complete and get some little bit of satisfaction or achievement from it. But I didn't buy it. Instead, and I'll transition to mine because I don't really have a mini WEC. Instead, I bought a magazine called Popular Science because Neil deGrasse Tyson was on the cover.
Ooh.
And I've purchased this magazine a couple of times before, so I'm not like a person who would normally buy Popular Science.
When you first said you bought it a couple of times before, I thought you bought the same issue.
One, because it's like, him.
What are
and
you
I love
doing?
Him so much. Neil. No. But I might have. But what happened was, as I was reading it, I was tearing out articles and I thought, some of this stuff is so fascinating. First of all, he's only in like one page and he says some really neat things as usual because he's very intelligent. But on one of the pages, there was this article and it's just a throwaway little thing on page 29 of the most recent Popular Science, so September 2015. And it's talking about colors and how the sun breaks down chemical bonds, and so that's why you have fading. However, a parrot's feathers do not fade. And they come from what they call a structural color. I didn't know any of this. Nanoscopic balls of pigment reflect certain wavelengths of light, but not others, creating colors purer than any dye. And since there are no chemical bonds to break, the colors cannot fade. And so for the first time in May, researchers created structural color in the lab, which they say will lead to longer lasting paints. Or even color-changing camouflage.
Oh. We can be invisible soon.
I didn't go there, but that's so true,
yeah,
right?
It's like, boom.
As Kelly poses against the wall. Anyways, I thought that was fascinating because I just thought color is color is color. I never really registered the fact that, yeah, parrots, their color is very, very pure, and they fly in the sun all day long, and they don't fade. So what's different? So I thought that was fascinating.
That is fascinating.
And they could do hair color that stays the same color rather than fading out.
Genius. Genius.
They're like, people are like, paint, camouflage. I'm like, hair dye.
So practical.
Because when I go all gray, which I'm still a long way away, I am retired, so it doesn't really matter. I am going to be like, I want to put my hair every color of the rainbow and just be like the total freaky old lady.
Don't you really? Don't you?
Yeah.
Like, don't you ever have it in you that just once you want to do like the pure magenta hair or the pure blue. Uh-huh. Just once. I get in that mood where I just want to show up like with the cutoff, like not the cutoff jeans, but the jeans with the holes in them and the funky little outfit and the blue hair and just walk in and just, I don't know. I
saw American Ultra last night with my nephew and Kristen Stewart's hair was a beautiful deep purple.
The other thing I want to do, this is so off topic, but the other thing I want to do someday is shave my head. But I want to look good. I want to look like cool and hip, but I don't know if that would ever happen. And what happens if my head is weird shaped? I don't want
to shave my head. That's weird.
That's the other thing. What if your head is weird shaped?
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing. When I do go gray, just shave it off and start from there. But yeah, people have weirdly shaped heads and they don't know it till they shave off their hair.
And luckily, my hair grows really fast, but who knows? When you get older, things change. So, I'd be like bald forever.
Yeah, that's true. You could be bald forever. Oh, the woes of women who start going gray in their 20s.
Yeah.
The wigs are
Unfortunately, I'm 19, and it's so odd with my gray hair.
Oh. Okay, well, I highly recommend this magazine, by the way. There's tons and tons of articles that I find fascinating, like, how do you become a compass? I don't know. That would be pretty handy. Anyways, so I highly recommend that. But
a compass. So, like, pointing the direction or being used to, like, as a stick to, like, draw a straight circle?
Being used as... I don't...
She hasn't read the article yet. She just cut it out.
I know. I just cut it out, Kelly. Okay, it says, become a compass. Researchers at the University of Osnab... whatever, in Germany, wanted to know if they could instead create a learned sense of direction. Mm. This is on page 61 of the same magazine. For 7 weeks, 9 male and 4 female subjects wore belts with 30 vibrating motors stitched onto an elastic fabric that indicated when they were facing north. They biked and walked.
So they were taught at all times a sense of direction.
Okay. Oh. Do you know how annoying that would be?
Okay, so did it work? Did it stick?
Over time, they improved their overall orientation abilities on a subcognitive level.
Okay, this is why it was so handy to live in Denver, because there's this mountain range that always tells you which direction west is in.
Right, that was very handy.
Once I figured out, in our town, there is one major freeway that goes through the middle, or goes through our town. And once I realized that, using that, I can always tell what direction it is. As long as I'm in the city. If I'm anywhere else, I'm out of luck, but I can always tell.
I rely too much on Google Maps now.
Oh, I know. I used to have this fantastic sense of direction, but now that I rely on Google Maps, I get turned around quickly, and I'm ashamed.
I went out Friday, and I don't know what mapping program my friend was using, but it let us down. It said, turn the corner, and in a mile and a half is the thing. It turns out, turn the corner, and it's right there, but we weren't expecting, because we had a mile and a half, so we're driving, and I'm like... the numbers are increasing. We're going in the wrong direction.
And yet you still go that way because the map is telling you to. I've done that before, too. It's like, but wait, I'm here. But okay, I guess I'll keep driving.
It overrides your intuition. That's what's so annoying about it.
And we were talking about... did you ever see the Office episode?
About what?
About where he was following his GPS, Michael Scott. Is that his name? The boss on the American one? And so whoever was riding in the car with him was like, you're going the wrong, this is wrong. He's no, the GPS is right. And drives into the middle of a lake. Because GPS said it was a road.
Recently I had a situation in Kentucky where I was trying to use Google Maps. And it was not, I was literally at a field with cows. So I got out to take a selfie with myself and the cows because I thought that was hysterical, but a semi drove by and I got self-conscious, so I got back in the car. And I had to use a map.
That was a lost selfie opportunity.
I know. It would have been so great. I don't know why I'm not braver.
When you do that, do you have a song with your head? But first, let me take a selfie. Job is complete.
Kelly's victory pose.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. So we're here today to discuss our bucket lists. And the thing is, I came up, I texted everybody, I said, let's talk about bucket lists. And then we changed our mind and we're going to talk about fall TV, but that's for the next episode because we want Kevin here for that. But then I got in the mail when I came home from my trip, the newest Smithsonian magazine, September 2015, and it right on the cover it said, "Lifeless, don't kick the bucket just yet." So I thought, oh, well, we'll just use this as kind of a guide of just whatever. And then I read, okay, let me ask you, this is a trivia question for you. Oh, sorry. Where does the term bucket list come from?
I looked this up.
Are you taking this from me?
I'm taking, no. I'm just answering your question.
Please,
is all.
Answer the question, because you probably have the facts.
No, I know. It was, I found this fascinating. I figured this had a long origin. I was figuring there were probably Greek philosophers who were talking about their bucket lists, and the name just kind of, you know, morphed through the centuries. But no. No, the term bucket list was generated from the 2007 by a screenwriter from the 2007 movie, The Bucket List.
Yeah,
seriously?
Absolutely. I swear, dead I figured serious. This term has been in our vocabulary forever, at least during our lifetimes,
yeah, I thought
right?
So.
This article says the phrase is so handy, it seems as if it's been around forever, but the screenwriter Justin Zachem says it just happened to be what he called an epic to-do list pinned to his bulletin board.
Right. Okay, so it makes sense. Now, the term kick the bucket is where it probably stems from, and
right.
That's been around for hundreds of years at least. I think that term first appeared in a dictionary in 1785.
So what's the origin of that?
Probably they don't really know for sure, but it probably has something to do with the way that they used to hang people. So you would hang someone and then kick the bucket out from under them.
Ew!
I know, that's really sad. But, you know, that makes sense, right? You kick the bucket, and then someone
dies.
That
totally makes sense.
I'm just so disgusted right now. But do you guys ever see It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
Yes, okay. A long time ago. It's a fantastic movie.
Is it at the beginning of that or the end of that where this guy kicks the bucket and the bucket just goes over the edge of the cliff?
I don't remember.
It's in that movie at some point.
Trivia. And at the end, they're like zooming by, and there's like a long pier, and there's people standing out the pier. My mom's one of those people.
Get out!
Yeah, so she watched them film. At least she says that. Or could be she's making it up. But. And you can't really tell who the person is, so. But if
he'd
anyone
be
wants
like
to know,
Kevin in the Doors.
That's,
he was.
That's right.
Anyway.
Okay. Right. That's so cool.
So yeah, I found that pretty fascinating.
And now it's. I think it's pretty much in people's vocabulary.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, so
yeah.
So what you got there in that magazine?
Well, what I found funny is like I think everybody's bucket list, I guess, is a theoretical thing that we all kind of think about. If we found out that we only had a year to go, what would we like rush out and do? And I think to everybody it's different. And I don't know, because I'm such a homebody in general, I don't know that it would include like going to all these variety of places, but like some of the things they have in this magazine are this cave that was just discovered in like 2009, and it's like the longest cave. It's in Vietnam.
Ooh, I heard about this.
And I guess it was discovered originally, but then nobody could find it, so they thought it was like a tale that this little boy told, but then he eventually found it. So
what's a cave you can walk through? Like it's
yeah, it's a cave in...
That's the opening?
Vietnam.
Oh my gosh.
It's
beautiful.
You guys
have to look this up. This is... What's it called?
I can't pronounce this. Hung Song
Dong.
Dong.
I apologize.
I'm so sorry.
For mangling that. But that's what it's called.
The name means mountain river cave.
So just Google that.
Where... Does it say where in Vietnam?
It's in a national park. It looks like it's much south of Hanoi.
I'm sorry, but that just seems strange that someone could just discover something like a cave. Like a cave that huge in 2009. That's remarkable.
I agree with you.
So obviously someone had discovered it before, it just hadn't been publicized.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine.
Well, look at the Dead Sea Scrolls. Someone discovered those in, what, 1950-something, and they were written 2,000 years before, and they just stumbled across them.
Yeah, so you wonder what... And they
true.
Just found Richard III underneath, like, a parking structure.
Oh, my gosh.
So, who knows what we haven't discovered.
So many,
I can't
many
wait
things.
Till we come up with X-ray vision.
That's why that... Okay, sorry, X-ray vision.
No, so I was listening to a podcast where they were saying that people, like, used to put stuff inside of the columns... But we're not going to go hacking through columns to see what's inside the columns, like the Roman columns.
Well, not only that, what is it? Some of the stuff in Washington, D.C., some building, like one of the libraries or something, in the cornerstone. There's stuff in the cornerstones. And they were talking about how they took it out like a long time ago and then they're not going to do that again or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even for us, there's stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, what were you going to say?
Not relevant.
So they had other things in here that I don't know. It's like, I'm not going to Africa to see the gorillas. I appreciate the gorillas from afar. That's not my
gorillas
thing.
Scare me. They do. I would not want to. It'd be like running into a bison in the wild. I would not want to run into one of those, nor would I want to run into a gorilla.
We
in the
ran
wild.
Into a bison.
I know, and it was a very scary experience.
I tell that
experience.
Story all the time.
Well, and you know, like, did you hear that someone just ran into a bison? Similar to our experience where we're walking along, and then all of a sudden, right in front of us, a bison like rises out of the
breeze.
Now, this bison did the same exact thing, but gored the guy.
Ew.
I know. So
well,
we were lucky.
Yeah. At the time, and we'll just tell the story because this is, we were walking in a line, the three of us, because it was
kind of in a meadow.
Yeah, it was in a meadow, and
you,
it was long,
you two
tall
and Sam
grass. No, our cousin Jim.
Okay.
And I don't know who was in front. You, I think were in front,
me.
And I was in the middle, and Jim was in the back. And when the bison rose, we all stopped, and Jim was like,
"He's our calm
yeah,
leader."
He's like, "Everybody, don't move. Everybody, turn around. Everybody, start walking." 1 foot in front. And we're just like, walking, walking, walking. All of us were afraid to look back.
Where were you at?
We were in South Dakota,
the
Black Hills.
We had a group of friends and I had a similar thing where we were taking a path on Catalina Island and we took a wrong turn and we're walking, we're like, and it was like right in front of us, big bison. Walk away, walk away, walk away.
Oh, my God!
But he was just standing there and was like, whoa.
Yeah, they're
huge.
And you don't want to get on the wrong side of a bison.
Well, and you don't expect it on Catalina Island.
Yeah,
either.
I was thinking you were going to say a boar. I didn't realize there were bison on Catalina.
Yeah.
There were, like, wild boars
yeah.
on Catalina.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
But, you know, you see,
it reminds me of the thorn birds.
Yeah. You say you don't want to see gorillas or whatever. I have the exact same thing about swimming with dolphins. Like, oh, it's so tricky. There are big wild animals. They're in an environment that I'm not. They're in an environment that I'm not supposed to live in. And by the way, have you heard the stories?
No.
They're not sweet.
They
and they're
seem
not,
very
and
are you destroying dolphins?
Yes, yes. And I'm not going to, because this is a family show, so I won't talk about how horrible male dolphins are, but they're awful. I am not swimming with
dolphins. But I don't know that I would be swimming. Oh, that's the other thing they have in here is
swimming
like.
Swimming with the dolphins?
No, no. It's going on the deepest dive in the Cayman Trench in the Caribbean Sea. It's like on this. It's a deep sea exploration vehicle. Called RIDE, RIDE.
I think our ocean is just as mysterious as outer space. So
yeah.
All the ocean exploration they're doing, besides the fact that we're probably destroying our ocean, is so great.
We need to do
more of it. It needs to get the same kind of publicity as our space exploration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I would do that. It's not on my bucket list, but if I had the opportunity, I would totally do that.
Okay, so have you thought about it? Like, have you thought about, like, what you would really want to do?
Is money a concern? Because because if I found out today that I had 1 year to live, I'd be very limited by budget. Being a poor intern.
Well, you know what's funny is I don't even think about it as like a, you know, like only having a year to live. I mean, I have something that I have to do before I die. And
yeah.
I have to do it soon because where I'm still young enough to be healthy to do it. And that's, I want to go to Antarctica.
Oh, wow.
Because I've been to every continent except for that continent. I got to step foot. I want to be able to say I've stepped on foot on every continent on the planet.
I had a friend who worked on Scott Base for one of their summers.
Oh.
It was like a crazy experience.
Yeah, let's not be crazy. I'm not working there. I'm taking the cruise ship and getting off the boat and
putting
going,
your foot down.
I'm putting my foot down going and doing a happy dance. And then getting back in the boat going back. I'm not working.
And then texting everybody, there it is. I did all the content. That's like when we were kids. We used to go on these driving vacations and we were in Missouri, and my dad was like, literally across the river is Illinois, but it was like thunderstorming and raining, and he's like, get in the car, kids. We drove across the bridge, all of us got out, he took a picture of us in front of the Illinois side, we all got back in the car and drove back to Missouri.
Totally.
We've been to Illinois.
Yeah. That was it.
I did that one on driving vacation with Serena, a mutual friend of ours, and I can't remember what state it was, but we did the same thing. Woo! We're here, and then back.
Yeah.
I would like to go to all 50 states.
I think that's a good goal.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to all the national parks.
That would be cool, too.
And that would probably involve going to all 50 states, I imagine.
I would imagine, yeah.
Possibly.
I bought that book. We should look at it.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of the states. I think there's only a couple I haven't stepped into.
Mine, the East Coast. It's so funny. Like, everything west of the Mississippi, I've been to, except for North Dakota. Because, you know, like, they have those programs where it's a map and you can click the states. So it's like, blue is the ones you've been to and red isn't. And so it's like, blue, little red. And what's really sad is I used to live in Minnesota. We went to South Dakota for something. I was like less than a half an hour and I didn't go up and I didn't do the drive and just step on it. So I'm really bummed. And what the, there's nothing in North Dakota.
Well,
now there's a lot going on in North Dakota, just nothing like tourist destination-y.
Yeah, there's stuff going on, but it's all drilling for oil. I mean,
where is the Badlands? Is that South Dakota?
I don't know. I know that's where
we'll have to Google it.
Mount Rushmore is in South Dakota.
Oh, the Badlands.
But yeah, Mandy has a Badlands story.
It involves urination, so we don't have to tell it here.
She peed in the Badlands. And just keep in mind,
I had to go.
The Badlands, if you've never been there before.
Oh my gosh, majestic.
It's basically a sea of dirt and hard-caked dirt.
Beautiful.
Quite lovely, but a sea of hard-caked dirt. So imagine peeing on a sea of hard-caked dirt. It just rolls in a rivulet. So Mandy had to seek a really remote place.
I walked for a long time in the Badlands. I could find that perfect place.
I have to tell you,
I was so focused on peeing, so when I finally peed, I looked up and I was like, holy crap, because I was basically kind of on a cliff, and I was, making little rivulets down the side of the cliff, and I just looked up and I was astonished by the beauty. It's like,
It's in South Dakota, by the way. I just looked
it up. So once you're not distracted from your bodily needs, you can actually see beauty around you. So there you go. My tip of the day.
There you go. Being in the Badlands.
Figure out where it was.
It's in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. To me, part of what would be on my bucket list is reading books that I don't have time to right now. Like, I keep putting off a bunch of things. I put off writing letters and reading books and stuff that I just don't have time to do. So that if I had a certain amount of time, there would be lots of books that I would be loving to read.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice to have that time. I always wanted to learn Spanish. It's a mission of mine, truly a mission. And we have a cousin, Katie and I, who knows German. He knows Spanish fluently, knows German fluently. He's learned Mandarin, Chinese. He's learning Czech so that he can become a citizen there, because you have to know the language before you can apply for citizenship because he owns property there. I just think he's just so good with languages, and I think some people are better at languages than others. I'm one of the people that are not good at languages. I've tried and started and stopped learning Spanish so many times in my life. So I have a plan. I looked up programs, immersion programs, because frankly, it's the only way that I think I'll ever learn it. And there's a very inexpensive one that is quite reputable in Guatemala. So going down past Mexico, it's the first Central American country you're going to come to, and very poor country. And there's this organization called Papuj, and it's like this nonprofit cooperative, and it's English instruction, but they provide you with immersion opportunities. So they have a medical one. You can volunteer at their clinic. You could even do nutrition at their clinic. So in my mind, I'm going to Guatemala someday for about 3 to 4 weeks. And I want to learn Spanish, and I want to practice it in a setting where I can also, help out the community. So there you go. That's on my bucket list.
You guys are like so altruistic.
No, don't look at me.
This is selfish.
I don't want to learn Spanish.
This is selfish. This is so I can learn a language.
You want to learn a language? I want to selfishly travel. And I'm thinking, if they said you only have a year, I would probably do some really horrible things that I've never done.
Like what?
I'm a law-abiding good girl who's never done anything illegal. Seriously, did I ever tell you, I was one of my social classes I took in college, and you had to do a list of 3 laws you've broken, right?
Uh-huh.
I couldn't come up with 3 laws. I've never stole anything. The only thing I could come up with, and
jaywalking.
No, because that's not a law. I underage drank, and I smoked pot. That's it.
You've sped. That's a law.
But that's not brave. That's not a crime. I mean, that's not even a misdemeanor. That's just a ticket. I mean, this is like they wanted like a crime. You could get arrested. You can't get arrested for speeding. And I've never sped.
Well,
fast
can
enough.
If you mouth off.
And I've never gone fast enough. To be, because like if you go over 100 miles an hour, they'll arrest you. I think it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I better stop.
So I've never done anything, so I want to do something.
So you want to break the law?
Break the law. Be a wild. What are they going to do? Throw me in jail? I've only got a year to live. Caution to the wind.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to spend the last year in prison or in court.
They're not going to even do that. I could get
bail.
They
would totally do that. They would be like, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a year to go to court, so you could be dead by the time your court date shows up.
And they're not going to put me in jail anyway. It's inhumane.
Look, number one. There's a reason you haven't broken the law. It's because you inherently don't feel like it. And so you're not going to start suddenly once you have a year to live. You're going to be like, what laws can I break? No.
And it wouldn't
besides, you wouldn't be able to go to Antarctica if you had broken the law.
So Kelly's bucket list
includes crime.
You know, it suits her, this dark bucket list of hers.
I'm telling you, it's don't they always say it's the quiet ones?
I don't want to know. I'm now just disturbed.
Okay, another thing on my bucket list. That has nothing to do with the crime, by the way. I just realized.
Sorry.
I, not to be political, but I couldn't own a gun. But I want to see what it's like to fire, not at a person, but like at a target. Like
you
go
should.
To go
I've
to fire
range. It's a lot of fun.
I would like to. That would be one thing.
It's not fun. I've done it too. Guns are freaking violent, man. I was like, okay. So if you want to appreciate guns, fire one because it's a violent explosion in your hands, and it feels like that. And it's very interesting.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I haven't done it. That would be one thing I would like to experience.
I've done it. Did I tell you that story?
No.
Didn't I tell you that
story? Yes, I've heard the story.
Yeah, my friend and I, we were like, well, let's do it. So we go in, and they show us all these guns, and they're like, which one would you like to shoot? So we said, well, we're novices, so give us something easy. So let's do the mosquito. It's called the mosquito. And they set the mosquito down in front of us, and it looks like a big old gun. And not a mosquito. Uh-huh. Like, you would think a Derringer would probably be this tiny little thing. No, it was just a 6-hour. It was like... And so we did, but we were so petrified, like, in between, we would be like, shoot, set it down. Mortified. I think it took us, I don't know how long, to do very little. And then the guys were like, so, well, you know, you'll come back, right? And we're like, oh, yeah, we're going to come back. We never went back.
Well, and I have unnaturally small hands. I really do. They're, like, tiny. And so it would be hard to find a gun I could grip. Because, like playing softball, I can't grip the ball good enough to put any kind of speed on throwing it.
Oh, I bet you could grip a gun. Plus, I just think there's something valuable in understanding how to shoot one.
Right.
Because if you're in a situation and you need to be able to shoot one, I think you should know how to do it.
I need a shotgun for the zombie apocalypse, frankly.
Hallelujah.
I'm sorry, but I think we've discussed this. They're too loud, and you're much better off with a blunt force. Or the katana would probably be the best.
No, I'm going to have one of those that shoots out all these, like, little things, and I can make my own bullets out of, like, shrapnel.
Yeah, you get a shotgun, you don't worry
about finding
bullets.
So when you shoot the zombie's head, just...
I would also like to try archery. Archery seems cool. Of course, that could be coming from the fact I watched Brave yesterday.
All right. Well, anyways. Anything else?
I don't know. Now that I'm... No, it's like Kelly. Thug life.
Well... I mean, I think there's something to be said for thinking about the things you've never really done because you were too afraid to do them, and whether or not knowing that you only had a year to live, would that release you from some of those? Like, and don't worry about crime, but just think about all the things that we are too afraid to do, like people we're afraid to speak to, or things we're afraid to say to people. Things we're afraid to, you know, put into place because we don't want to offend anybody. And we know that a year from now, you know, we might have to face up to whatever But wouldn't that free your tongue a bit?
Yeah, it would give you a whole new life perspective if you knew a different kind of appreciation for life.
And it makes you understand people who are elderly, too, when they just don't give a crap anymore. And they're just saying what they think, when they think it, because they're like thinking, I'm not going to be here 5 years from now. So who cares? This is what I believe. I don't know. I think that would be... I think I've read a few things saying it's incredibly freeing to speak your mind. Because we really, as a culture, don't encourage that.
Mm-mm.
It's just, you just don't.
But I think, I know that they always talk about, I mean, part of why certain candidates are really moving up is because they say whatever and they don't care. I think not caring is a bad thing. I think thoughtful speech is a good idea. Because why hurt people? And everyone unintentionally hurts people. I'm not talking about that. But saying something that you know is going to be painful to someone, I don't think there's any excuse. I don't care how old you are. I don't care who you are. There's no reason for that.
That's true. It's a good way of looking at it. I don't know. Like, from a standpoint of, like, feeling complete, like, if, you know, there's a lot of things that I would like to do and set up and put into place and... just the way I'd like to kind of leave the world would be more on my bucket list than physically going to see places, although, you know, that would be fun too. Like, there was one of the things in this article was this woman who was a birder, and she found out that she only had a year to live, so she just went on a quest to see as many birds as she could. And she ended up living longer than she thought she was going to live, and she discovered like 8,500 different species of birds, which to her felt like an accomplishment because that was very, very personal to her. So whatever it would be, like, for example, I would love to sit down and do nothing but play the rest of Dragon Age and all the DLCs. And I don't right now give myself the time to do it. So.
See, I don't have anything like that.
I don't know if I have anything like that, but I think you have a year to live. The first thing you do is, you know, in order to enable you to do all the things you want to do, is you quit your job. I mean, the thing. We all live to work. You know, we're focused on getting a job. We're focused on keeping a job. We're focused on supporting our families and supporting ourselves. And that would be a very freeing thing to not have to worry about that.
You're right.
Because that's where our perspective on life has kind of a core focus. And it would be nice to be freed of that.
Well, on that note,
we don't want to work.
Quit your jobs, folks.
We're all quitting our jobs.
Get a new life focus.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, as usual. And next week, we'll be back with fall TV and movie kind of previews. So, anyways, let us know what you think. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to get your feedback on this week's episode. You can follow us by using the Twitter handle @WECPodcast. That's WEC with 2 Ks. Like us on our Facebook page by searching for the keyword WEC. You can also find us on Tumblr and Instagram. Or you can email us at WECPodcast@gmail.com. Bye for now. Thank you.